right, glory, glory. Let's get into it. Let's get into it. So now, we started off in Matthew chapter 16. And verse 16 says this. Simon Peter answered, "You are the Messiah, the Son of the living God." Because Jesus was asking the billion, trillion dollar question, "Who do you say that I am?" That's the response, a question that everyone in all of history, before Christ, during Christ, and after Christ, has to answer. Says, "You are the Messiah." This is what Peter said, "the Son of the living God." Jesus replied, "You are blessed, Simon, son of John, because my Father in heaven has revealed this to you. You did not learn this from any human being. Now I say to you that you are Peter," which means rock, "and upon this rock I will build my church, and all the powers of hell will not conquer it." Now, the English words here, you know, both say rock, but actually in the Greek, which the New Testament is written in, is two different Greek words there. Jesus kind of does a bit of a play on words. And when he says that upon this rock I will build my church, he's saying upon this revelation that you've just expressed, that I'm the Messiah, the Son of the living God, that's how we're building the church. We're building the church upon that revelation and that truth. Jesus is the head of the church. I would strongly encourage you to watch, you know, last week, our first edition, as I was laying a foundation of what actually is the church. Because a lot of assumption is made about what church is and what church is not. But we need to really clearly see from Scripture, well, what is the church? And we came to this core affirmation and this core conclusion that church is not actually a place to attend. It is a people called out of various backgrounds and circumstances who do life together while chasing the fulfillment of God's mission. These are people who choose not to be defined by race, color, gender, social position, economic status, or etc., but rather they align themselves with God and his mission. So as I challenge you on last week, I want to reiterate, please never go to church again. Now, I presented this to my leaders, you know, last year, and they all looked at me crazy like, "Oh, Pastor, then lost it. It was a good run with you, Pastor, but I think I got to go now." I said, no, you have to understand something. You are the church. Church is not a place that you attend. Church is this gathering. And as what we discussed on last week, there's no building that is a church. Do you understand? I know we'll put names on it and so forth, but gatherings can happen anywhere. And where that gathering of those who look to God through Christ is happening, there is the church. So your home and my home should be a... Never go to church again, but rather come together to be a part of God's dream. God has a dream. That's what this is all about. God has a dream, a vision. So when we come together like on a Sunday morning like this, we're not going to church. We don't come to church. We come together, we gather together to be a part of God's dream. So that his dream is, watch this, happening in our lives, and we're helping his dream to come to pass in other people's lives. That's what this is all about. Really simple. Last week, we also looked at the significance of how church is not this frivolous thing that we shop for, like we go into the grocery store and we're choosing between, you know, this brand and that brand. Really, at the end of the day, there's a calling to a local church assembly. There's a calling to a gathering. One of our newest members, I guess she would actually be the newest member, she completed Growth Track Step 1 on last week, and I happened to see her right after. And I was like, "Well, congratulations and welcome to the family." And her response to me was, "I found my people." I said, "Yeah, okay." I said, yep. I said, that's the spirit of the church. See, there's a people that you've been called together with. And you want to be sensitive enough to God to let him lead you to that. So let's get into what we got for today. Got to lay a little bit more foundation before we can get to the real crux of where I want to go, where this series is concerned. Let's do this first. All right. The church and every local gathering has a specific DNA. And when I say the church, remember, there's only one church. There's just one church. Just one. Now, I know we have buildings where people gather all over the country, all over the world, and people would say, yes, there's multiple churches, but really, no, there's just one church. Now, there are numerous local gatherings, but it's just one particular church. And the church has a specific DNA, unique design that sets it apart from everything else in society. The church made a mistake years ago when we started to identify ourselves as just another part of society. Or let me put it this way, another part of the marketplace. And church was never called to be a part of the marketplace. The church was really called to be a prophetic voice to the marketplace. But we gave up that right to just kind of join everyone else, because the church has this issue sometimes where we want to be liked. And watch this, I get it. Nobody likes to be disliked. But don't stop being yourself to appease other people. All right, praise the Lord. So this situation of DNA, we need to look at. There is a DNA of the universal church, the one universal church. And I use the term universal intentionally, because a lot of times people will say the global church, and that wouldn't be fully accurate. Because if you read scripture, you'll understand that the church is not only those who are living who have surrendered to Christ here on earth, it's also for those who have passed on. There's a church in heaven. So the church, universal, there's a specific DNA, and I want to give you five, you know, particular DNA qualities that you have to understand about the makeup of the church. Number one is this. It's a celebration. There's a celebration of the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus, which brought salvation to all creation. This is this part of the DNA of what the universal church is. Celebration of the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus. Romans chapter 4, verse 25 says this: Jesus was handed over to die because of our sins, and he was raised to life to make us right with God. This is what Jesus did for all of humanity. And the thing that a lot of times we don't talk about enough is that his life, death, burial, and resurrection affected all of creation, not just people. We'll come back to that at some point. But you need to understand, this is a central part of the DNA of the church. There's this celebration of the sacrifice and resurrection of Jesus. And that, watch this, that it removed our sins and just made us right with God. That is absolutely core. Number two is the belief in the truth that Jesus alone, the Son of the living God, is Lord. Jesus alone is Lord. We talked about this, you know, someone on last week. Notice again what scripture says in Philippians chapter 2. Therefore, God elevated him, Jesus, to the place of highest honor and gave him the name above all other names, that at the name of Jesus, every knee should bow in heaven and on earth and under the earth, and every tongue declare that Jesus Christ is Lord, to the glory of God the Father. The reality is this: at some point in time in everyone's existence, they will declare that Jesus is Lord. Now, we have the privilege and opportunity to do it now joyfully and gratefully, but some will obviously resist that, but they'll still wind up doing so sorrowfully later on. I think it's better to choose the joyful part. That's what I recommend. Notice in Romans chapter 10, verse 9, it says this: if you openly declare that Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For it is by believing in your heart that you are made right with God. And it is by openly declaring your faith that you are saved. Now, someone would take the latter part of that verse and just kind of run with it, you know, and kind of go on a rabbit trail. Like, well, see, I believe in my heart. See, as long as I believe in my heart, I'm right with God. Well, but believing in your heart that Jesus is Lord means that you submit to what he says. So that's why we talked about the fact, you know, when individuals will take on the mantra of, well, I love God, but I don't like the church. I don't do that church thing. I don't do organized religion. I don't either. Can't stand it. And if you come around here enough, you recognize like, yeah, they're not very religious, that's for sure. But we are very scriptural and very relational with God first and then with others. Yeah. Yeah. You know, we talked about, you know, last week. You can't love Jesus and then say you don't like the church. When you do so, you're expressing a lack of love for Jesus. Because he's the one who made the church. He's the one who is the head of the church. He's the one who established the church. Again, it's like someone coming to you and saying, I like you, but I can't stand your little rotten kids. Oh, you're ready to fight. You're like, who in the world? Yeah, I don't like your kids. You're probably not going to have a whole lot of relationship with them. Because you understand, they're connected to me. If you love me, you got to love everything that's attached to me. Come on, let me talk maybe to maybe one of the single ladies, you know, maybe you have a child and some guy, you know, comes to you and he seems like he's really nice. But he expresses to you like, oh, I just think you're adorable, but well, your daughter just gets on my nerves. Now let me give you some wisdom. You would do well to start stepping back from that. Yeah, you pray that the person has a change of heart. But if they don't, because you have to understand, and most people would understand, it's like, yeah, it's kind of a package deal. You want me? She comes with me. All right, I'll keep going. Number three, DNA, is the belief in the triune nature of God. We talked a little bit about this, I believe, last week or week before. We're talking about we serve one God with three unique expressions, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Just one God. Triune God is comprised of three separate, and you could also kind of say distinct personalities in one sense. It's the Father, the Son, the Holy Spirit, who are eternally self-existent, self-revealed, and function as one entity. 1 John chapter 5, verse 7 says this. So there are three witnesses in heaven, the Father, the Word, which is the Son, and the Holy Spirit, and these three are one. These three are one. So you need to understand something here, that the belief in the triune nature of God is essential to the core of the church. Now, I need to make sure we are understanding this, because so much has been added into the church that the church has a hard time right now understanding who it really is. And we need to slow down and back up to see, what does God say? Not watch this, not how we feel. Not what's being pushed from us from people outside of the church. I always found it funny. I'm just going to be here for a minute. I always found it funny when people would try to tell me about Jesus who had no relationship with Jesus. Like, you can't talk to me about Jesus. How can you believe that? Like, why do I even need to go into it? You don't have a relationship. Okay, well, praise the Lord. Mm-hmm. True story. I went to a church that changed my life because someone who didn't have a relationship with God told me not to go there. So I was about to not go, and God was like, now consider your source, son. This person who has no relationship with me whatsoever told you not to go. Maybe you might want to just go check it out. Changed my life. Number four, very quickly, DNA of the church is the treating of the Holy Bible as the final authority. Now, when I say Holy Bible, I know there's, you know, different things that are said. I'm talking about 66 books, two covenants, Old Testament, New Testament, 39 in the Old, 27 in the New. Someone says, yeah, but they lost some books. They ain't lose anything. They didn't lose them. They knew all about those books. Those books did not measure up. Okay. So let's not get that, you know, all twisted. So talking about this Holy Bible, 66 books, Genesis to Malachi in the Old Testament. Come on now, Matthew to Revelations, New Testament. This is what we're referencing. The church treats the Holy Bible as the final authority for life. 2 Timothy chapter 3, Paul is speaking, encouraging a young pastor, Timothy. He says, there's nothing like the written word of God for showing you the way to salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. Nothing like that. Every part of scripture is God-breathed and useful one way or another, showing us truth, exposing our rebellion, correcting our mistakes, training us to live God's way. Through the word, we are put together and shaped up for the task God has for us. Oh, how do you get in shape? God's word. I'm not talking about physical shape, obviously, but I'm talking about spiritually. How do you get in spiritual shape? God's word. God's word. There's nothing like God's word. Now, when Paul was referencing this here, he was indeed specifically referencing those Old Testament scrolls and, you know, so forth and things. But this truth also has implication for what was being developed at that time, the New Testament, you know, scriptures. We treat it as holy, as final authority. What does that mean? Well, if you want to go this way and God says go that way, which way do you go? But you really want to go this way. And everybody else going that way. And everybody else making money that way. Why can't I just go that way? Well, because God said go this way. See, that's the situation of final authority. And watch this. And that's really worship. When you're confronted with these obstacles or challenges against what God says and you choose God over it, that's worship. Now, that's the heart of worship. Worship is not just singing songs. Praise God for songs. It's a surrender to God in the face of those things that are challenging you. So when Jesus is struggling with taking the final steps of his life's mission, and he comes to this point and he says, not my will, but yours be done. Come on now, that is worship. And that's what God is looking for from all of us. Treating his word as final authority. Number five is this. Is the commitment to see others come into a thriving relationship with God. This is the DNA of the universal church. Matthew chapter 28, verse 18 and through 20 says, Jesus came and told his disciples, I have been given all authority in heaven and on earth. Therefore, go and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit. Teach these new disciples to obey all the commandments I have given you. And be sure of this, I am with you always, even to the end of the age. But I love the fact that as Jesus now has resurrected from the grave, he gives his disciples the commission, go make disciples of all nations. Come on, all people. That's why we don't care, you know, what color somebody is, what size somebody is, you know, what none of that matters. No, God loves everybody. And the church, again, I've said it before, I'll say it again. We do a disservice when we just kind of only want to gather with people that look like us. That's not how the kingdom looks. So I always encourage to be like, you know, I kind of mess with some folks that I have that may be of a different, you know, kind of ethnicity. Said, you should get used to me now because you're going to have to get used to me later in heaven. Might as well just warm up to me now. Okay, well, anyway. Watch this. And me likewise. Come on. Got to get over that stuff. Please get over that. This commitment to see others come into a thriving relationship with God is essential, and it is a part of the DNA of the church. We shortened it, that particular scripture, into this phrase. It's our mission statement. We exist to equip all people to grow fully in Christ. Everything that we do, including what's going on right now, is designed to help you to grow fully in Christ. Now, we can't force anything, but this is everything that we do. Everything is tied to this. It doesn't matter what's going on. Family fun day. Come on, covenant partners, married couples getting together, students having some fun. It's all designed to help us to grow fully in Christ. Because that's a part of the DNA of the church. These five components are absolutely essential, and they are irreplaceable. You cannot replace them, you cannot substitute them, and you cannot lose them. So hear this statement and hear it very well. When a local assembly deviates from any of these core DNA traits, that gathering has ceased being a church. A church, again, being a called out assembly that is centered on God through Christ. Now, I say that because I love, you know, there's some phenomenal churches here in South Florida and just across the world. And there's some places that have a name church that ain't a church. And you need to understand the difference. And these 5 points of DNA, when you see a local gathering deviate from any of these five, they have ceased being a church. Now, this is not condemnation on anyone. I'm really just trying to help us all understand. Because a lot of times we just kind of naively kind of go through this spiritual life. It's like, well, okay, this is a church. That's a church too, just like this church. Yeah, maybe, maybe not. Prayerfully so. But there's been a lot of churches. Let's be candid. There's a lot of gatherings that's called a church that have redefined sexuality. Now, God defines sexuality one way, but they've decided, no, we're going a different way. All right. I better stop meddling. We'll be back. Now, here's the thing. Those are five core DNA traits of the universal church. But in addition, every local gathering is to have certain qualities and traits as well, DNA, that are given by God, which are unique, but more importantly, they are designed to reach a diverse community of people who don't know God, who may question God, or who may have turned their back on God. God will give a specific kind of DNA to a local gathering. And I got news for you. You have a specific DNA, spiritually speaking. You understand that physically. You got a specific DNA spiritually. So just like someone would say from a physical standpoint, based upon this DNA, I'm related to you. That's why someone spiritually can say, based upon my spiritual DNA, I found my people. Are you making the connection? So you have to understand what is your spiritual DNA? Well, that's one you just have to really kind of spend some time with God on. But what I do want to share with you is some of the specifics of Impact Church right here where you are. You know, this gathering, our DNA. We got 9 particular points. I'm going to hit them real quick. Are you ready? Say yes. Number one is this. We love God and we love people. Come on, why don't you just high five somebody just next to them and say, I love you. Come on, hit them one time. Hey, watch this. If you found somebody that's cute, you just got a little something that you was able to slip in there real quick. Oh, anyway, all right, praise the Lord. I'm just trying to help people. Praise the Lord. All right. We love God and we love people. Come on now. Hey, number two is we are authentic. We're authentic. Authentic means not false or an imitation. Authentic means that it's a conforming to an original. We're authentic. For me, this is what you're going to get. What you see with me here is what you're going to find when I'm at Publix. There's no difference. I shouldn't, but I'm going to do it. It will always amaze me sometimes where I would meet, you know, other, you know, pastors, preachers, and so forth. And we talk and we, you know, have a good time and so forth. And then maybe I like go to church or whatever the case may be. And all of a sudden their whole thing changed. Their voice changed. Now thus saith the Lord. was like, that ain't how that Negro talk. Oh, anyway, all right, nice. Let me stop. Let me stop. Did I say that out loud? Maybe I should have kept that one in there. My point is, be authentic. You don't have to become something that you're not. God loves you like you are, and will use you just like you are. Number three is, we are dependent solely upon God. Come on, we're dependent solely upon the power of God. You know, I like to say this. We rely solely on the power of prayer, the leading of the Spirit, the gifts of the Spirit, and the anointing of God. Come on, we stand in faith for healing, provision, and protection that comes only from the power of Christ. We're dependent upon God. Listen, we understand that He's the wind beneath our wings. Everything good about you is because of God's grace for you. Everything. Never lose sight of that. Number four is this: we are excellent. Come on, this is our DNA. This is the spiritual DNA of Impact Church. We are excellent. We're committed to excellence in all things, thereby requiring, watch this, a fierce commitment to planning, effective communication, and best effort, execution. Sometimes when planning is concerned, people think that shouldn't happen. We're a church. And I've had conversations with people and so forth. It's like, y'all try to plan too much. And I think I said it one time. I said, well, that's dumb. You think God just like woke up and like, you know what? I think I'm going to do this. I ain't got nothing else to do. Oh, the sun, people. No, God had a plan. Had vision. But I get it, because some people's church background, I get it, can be this more spontaneous thing, like just wherever the Spirit may take us in that moment. Well, praise God. Okay, there can be some spontaneous things. But I also recognize the fact that if I pray and talk with God enough on the front end, I can get the plan on the front end. I don't have to wait until watch this Sunday morning to figure out what I'm going to preach. As a matter of fact, you all would be concerned with me if I did that. Be like, yeah, I we started off the service. I'm like, well, I don't really know what I'm gonna preach. I was just when I got here, I just kind of listening to God. And okay, this is what I'm gonna preach. All right, you might be able to get away with that once or twice. But a diet of that, you're gonna be like, wait a minute, because I'm going to tell you what's going to happen. If a person is not planning, preparing, then that means they're not studying. So that means that spontaneous message is going to wind up being the same over and over and over. All right, praise the Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. How did I get there? We're excellent, though. We're excellent. We're excellent. We are excellent. Come on, you got a plan. And I'll say this to help individuals. Church obviously is a gathering of people that are called out from various backgrounds. But as we function together, church is very much a business. And there's some business principles that the church should be operating in. I just thought I'd share that. Number five, we are generous. Come on, we are a culture that thinks others instead of us. We're generous. And here, if you've been around Impact, long enough, we don't like try to beat people up about, generosity or giving. Our role is this: let us teach you what God says in His Word, and now, that's between you and God. We're going to teach you what God says, and then that's between you and God. And so, I don't go around like as the pastor, like checking, like, let me see who it is, who around here tithe and so forth. They tithe? No, they tithe. I don't do that. But no, let me balance that. For those that work at the church, I do. How you gonna work at the church and then you don't honor God? All right, I'll keep going. Number six is we are grateful. We have an environment that chooses to see the best in our circumstances and in others. We choose to see the best. We choose it. We're grateful. We recognize that it's only by the grace of God that we go. Trust me. It is only by the grace of God that I'm standing here with the privilege of ministering to you today. If it wasn't for God's grace and his presence, you would not want to know me. I'm telling you, I knew me before Christ. You ain't want to know me. I didn't even like me. I'll just leave it there. It would have been a mess. So I am grateful for God's grace. Number seven, we are joyful. Joyfulness is an attitude that chooses to be infectiously positive and to see the best in every situation. Come on, we choose to be that way. We choose it. Matter of fact, I just challenge you, just for 5 seconds, would you just lift up your hands and give God praise? Come on, glory and honor. We love you, Lord. We bless you. Yes, your joy is our strength. Yes, and we stay strong in you. Glory. Yes, indeed. Okay, 5 seconds in, a long time ago. See? Amen. I get it, though. Joyful and grateful. Now, number eight is this. We are relevant. Let me say this, you know, so we understand what we mean here. We purpose to remain true to the pure message of Christ. Absolutely. So like those DNA points, those five DNA points about the universal church, we will not deviate from that ever, ever. But we're also extremely flexible in our methods to deliver that message to a rapidly changing culture. Methods are not necessarily sacred. You'll see it sometimes, and we really tend to be creatures of habit. So if we do things one way, then 25 years later, we do it the same way. Okay, that's the way we always do it. And then we'll put a nice cliche to it. Hey, what's not broken doesn't need to be fixed. Maybe it's broken, you don't realize it. And individuals can get married to tradition and then try to make the traditions holy. Now, the tradition not holy. That's the method that you use, and that's okay. It may have been a good method at that time. We don't anymore. Well, watch. We used to every Sunday. You could count on me. Watch this. Have my suit on. Come, I'm telling you, I was looking sharp, baby. Was I looking sharp, baby? I mean, I was sharp every Sunday. I'd be sweating up a storm because it's hot in South Florida. So finally, one day, kind of just got an idea. I think I was talking to somebody else. I was just like, you know what? During the summer months, why don't we do like casual dress? Because it is hot wearing these suits and carrying on. So during the summer, we decided, hey, we're just going to wear, you know, hey, jeans, relax, just however you want to dress. That's fine. So we're doing that during the summer, and then pretty much Labor Day was kind of our trigger point. After Labor Day, okay, we're back to church attire, per se. What is church attire? Anyway, we'll address that later. And so we started doing that. And so then, you know, so God just started talking to me. It's like, so if it's okay to dress that way during the summer, you can't dress that way now? Do the clothes make you more holy? Are you more anointed with your suit on? it's like, son, that's got nothing to do with it. And then, truth be told, what we really realized, too, is like, you know, everybody don't even own suits and things. So it wind up actually serving as another obstacle for people getting closer to Christ because they felt like, man, I can't even dress like y'all. I said, you know what? We'll fix that. It's like, everybody, hey, y'all can dress however you want to dress. As long as you're covered. That's all. That's our only rule. Please, just be covered. Just be covered. Praise God. Just be covered. But you can dress, wear whatever you want. Just be you. Be you. Relevant. We're relevant. Number nine, last one is this. We are one team. one team. We are many people crawl from many places that make up one team. One in name, one in aim, one in vision, one in purpose. We're just one team. So I says, we have no time for strife and talking about others. A good way to probably see a different side of me is to start talking about somebody and that strife stuff. Don't like it. We got to deal with it. We got to uproot that. It's kind of like, you know, with my kids, you know, they can mess with each other and so forth. But the moment they have that thing like they want to fight one another, oh, we crash in the party. Now, this is all about to stop. And you're going to understand why this will never happen again. Because it's so destructive. We're one team. One team. So that's kind of our local gathering DNA. Obviously with those core 5 points. And you need to learn, you know, what your spiritual DNA is. And as my friend, you know, told me on last week, you need to find your people. You need to find them. So we end with this verse. In Ephesians chapter 4, verse 15, 16 says, we will speak the truth in love, growing in every way more and more like Christ, who is the head of his body, the church. He makes the whole body, the whole church, fit together perfectly. As each part does its own special work, it helps the other parts grow so that the whole body is healthy and growing and full of love. See, that's what God is looking for. He wants to see a gathering of people, watch this, that are healthy, that are growing, and that are full of love. But God is the one now who brings individuals together, and watch this, and he knows how to fit us together perfectly. Perfectly. Allow God, watch this, to place you where you belong. Every person, I didn't say Christian, I said every person on the planet should be connected with a local gathering somewhere. Every person. Because there are things that you are called to receive there, and there are things that you're called to give there. Find your people. So let's make this confession together. Are you ready? Say yes. Say this with me. I love my church. I love the people, the purpose, and the passion of my church. This is more than a statement or slogan, but this is the reality and truth of my heart. I love dearly where God has called me to, the people he's called me to be with, and the purpose that he has given us to pursue. In a world full of people who are displaced, alone, marginalized, and devalued, I am so grateful that God has called me to a place, a people, and a purpose to which I belong. I love my church. Come on, somebody give God glory. Thank you, Lord. We bless you. We honor you. And we magnify your wonderful name. Thank you, Lord. Now listen, the reason why we love our church is because of how much God loves us. And he is the one who made and established the church. And as I shared many times, the entrance way into the church is not, you know, religious duties and this commandment or that commandment. It's an expression of surrender. Just like what we talked about with Jesus, not my will, but yours be done. See, you don't have to be quote unquote perfect to come into the church. No, not at all. I remember, you know, years ago, I avoided church because I felt like I was not fit for church. So I wouldn't go. People would invite me and I'd be like, I need to work on some stuff first before I go to church. That was my thinking. Because I was confused and thinking that somehow I needed to measure up a certain way in order for God to receive me. And like what we're talking about, you know, last month, that our lives matter, my life matters, that God loves us just like we are. And watch this. He loves us so much, he doesn't want to leave us like we are. Yeah. So I want to invite you, if you're not already, to become a part of the universal church. What does that mean? It means that you develop and make a commitment for God through the provision that he's provided, Jesus Christ, his son. It's really just that. It's a surrender. It's a surrender point to say, yep, I say yes to you, God, from this day forward. Does that mean you're going to do everything perfect? Nope. Nope. So don't even put that pressure upon yourself. But be honest and be diligent before God to keep pressing after him. And if you do miss it, get back up and keep coming after God. And if you miss it again, get back up and keep coming after God. Because you will always find God's arms like this. He's never pushing you away.